salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in again to the broadcast at this time, and we're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 23. Verse number 4, Luke 23, 4, it's morning time. The Jews, the elders, the leaders of the nation of Israel have taken the Lord Jesus Christ. They've interrogated him themselves. They brought him before the council. They falsely accused him. And they bring him to Pilate to put him to death. They can't put anybody to death themselves. It's against the Roman law, evidently, for them to do so at this time. And so they bring him to Pilate. He's there from Caesarea in Jerusalem because of the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread that's at hand. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. They're going to congregate there at Jerusalem for these feasts. And so he's going to be there with his forces to put down any insurrection and any issue at hand. We know from the scripture also that Herod is there. He's the governor of Galilee, and so he's there too. They're there in full force for this feast time of the Jews, these religious and worship services that they have. Pilate says, after questioning the Lord Jesus initially, says, "I don't find any fault in this man," to the priests and the elders and such. He says, "I find no fault in this man," verse number 4. Verse 5, and they were the more fierce, and so they just stick to their guns, and they press on Pilate, as saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." And so they push this about him being an insurrectionist. They know that that's a hot button with the Romans, and Romans have no tolerance whatsoever for insurrectionist. And the most cruel and brutal punishment and death would come upon the insurrectionists as well as others. But the insurrectionists, they make an example out of because they are ruling with an iron fist. And so they press Pilate regarding this. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. Also, is this fellow a Galilean? And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was there in town, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. Verse 8, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to see some miracle done by him. Herod is heard a lot about this Lord Jesus Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth, all the things that he's done. Over and over he's heard about him, and he's wanted to see him. He wanted to see a miracle done by him, some of the magic. That would be what he would say. The Lord Jesus did no magic. It's just his power and ability by which he healed and did the things that he did. But that's Herod's thinking. He's a pagan. He's tied in with Rome. He may be of Jewish descendancy, but he's a man that has sold out unto the Romans and has taken the position that he has in Galilee. An interesting point here, and is John the Baptist. In the day of his ministry, some 3 years previous, the ending of his ministry, was taken by Herod and put in ward, and by the wicked works of Herodias and her daughter, Herod's wife that he had stolen from his brother Philip, who's governing over to the east of Herod's jurisdiction. He had taken John, and Herodias didn't like the things that John said about it not being lawful for Herod to take Herodias as his wife. And as there's that Jewish connection that is there, that John, the prophet of God and the man of God, chides the ruler and rebukes the ruler for. And so Herod wasn't wanting to kill John, but Herodias and her daughter, worked a scheme and pleased Herod and got a favor from him. And so the girl went to her mother Herodias and asked, what do I ask from the king? And she said, the head of John the Baptist on a charger. Herod didn't want to do it, but he had made a big spectacle of the oath, and so he couldn't do anything but that, he thought. And so John was beheaded by Herod. Here the Lord Jesus Christ comes eye to eye, if you will, with the Lord Jesus' best man. John had made a statement way back at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he must increase. His disciples were jealous. John's disciples were jealous about Jesus beginning to baptize more people than what John was baptizing. And they came to John and they told him that. And John told him plainly, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. He says, I rejoice, John says, at the voice of the bridegroom. I rejoice at him being here on the scene. It's better for him to be here than for my ministry to be higher. He must increase and I must decrease. So there is this sense where the Lord Jesus is now standing face to face with the man that killed his best man. Herod had beheaded John, and the forerunner of Christ, and now Jesus stands face to face with him. And what a wondrous, wondrous thing that is. Verse 9, then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. One brother put it some years ago that the Lord Jesus didn't answer Herod one word because he was standing there in my place. Well, what do you mean? Why would that be the case? We have nothing to answer. When questioned about the authority, about our sin and the need of our souls, when questioned about what we're going to do with all of our transgression against God, when questioned about why we have sinned against a holy and righteous and divine God, we have nothing to answer, do we? We're guilty. We're willfully guilty in our rebellion and our disobedience. Now, our Lord Jesus, he's not guilty of anything. The only thing the Lord Jesus is guilty of is being innocent, being pure, being without sin in any wise. And so there, as he stands before Herod, our Lord Jesus says nothing, because that's the answer that we have, nothing. Herod is urging him. It says here he questioned him with many words. He's going this angle, that angle, the other angle, trying to get something out of the Lord Jesus. And you know what the witness to Herod is? Nothing. Not a miracle. Not a healing of a disease. Not wonderful words of life spoken by the Lord. The silence. Nothing but silence from the Lord. Silence from the Lord. And the chief priests and scribes, verse 10, stood and vehemently accused him. Well, they didn't stay back there with Pilate, did they? They came along. Pilate sends Jesus to Herod. when he finds out he's from his region and his territory. And so they follow along, and they accuse them before Herod too, and lie against him and all that, as they did before Herod. Verse 11, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught in a humbling way, a discounting way. They're making a mockery and fun of the Lord Jesus Christ, and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. So they have their time of fun in abusing the Lord Jesus Christ and mocking him, and what is known as him being the king of the Jews and the king of the world. And so when Herod can get nothing out of him, he sends him back to Pilate. And the same day, verse 12, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, because it always hadn't been that way with them. For before, they were at enmity, hatred between themselves. And so they had a big old jolly hoorah time over the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever wonder where Pilate and Herod are now? No indication in the scripture at all that these men were ever believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a terrible death of Herod in the book of Acts, where he's eaten of worms, the judgment of the Lord upon him, taking glory that's only due to God, and having that Jewish nation connection, the Lord would not let him take that glory into himself. Pilate, historically, we understand he's a man that's got a lot of political trouble. We're going to see about that here in these coming verses, where this political trouble is going to catch up with Pilate one more time. He doesn't need any trouble with Rome, and he's been given a difficult assignment in this, we understand historically, and coming to Judea and trying to get a handle on the control of these Jews in Jerusalem. All this turmoil and trouble that they have there in Jerusalem and Judea, in 70 AD, it's going to bring it down to where Titus is going to come in and destroy. He's going to come in and destroy this city. And so, in scriptures to come, we're going to see the political pressure put upon Pilate, and the decision that he makes is caving to popular opinion. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.